Commission, October 24, 2017, is now called to order. Commissioner Somers, would you lead us in Pledge of Allegiance?
Place your hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Tom, would you conduct a roll call, please?
Commissioner Somer?
Present.
Commissioner McPhail?
Present.
Commissioner Bangs?
Present.
Vice Chairman Robinson?
Present.
And Chairman Eichert?
Here. Planning Director Minsk, is this our final agenda?
Yes, it is.
All right, thank you. Pretty full house. This is a time for the public, if there's something that's not on the agenda for tonight, they can submit an item for our consideration, if we have time for it, and can take it up either at this time or at a later time. Seeing none, I'd ask that everyone turn off their cell phones, any entertainment devices, so we don't have a distraction throughout the evening. And we'll move right along to the consent counter. And it's nice to see we got all of our commissioners today, so we can take some things off of this. I would entertain a motion out of either Vice Chairman Robinson, Commissioner Somer, or Commissioner Bangs for the minutes of June 2017.
Move approval of the minutes for June 27.
Second.
Of the three of you in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And then for the minutes of September 26, 2017, all but Vice Chairman Robinson, I move we accept the minutes as presented. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Yes.
Very good. We finally got those minutes off the paper, huh? Good. All right. We'll move on to a public hearing. Has a legal notice been made for this public hearing for this evening?
Yes, it has.
It has. Commissioners, are any declarations of conflicts for the items tonight? None here?
None.
None? Good. Any declaration of ex parte contacts?
Not a.
None. Very good. All right. I will now open the public hearing. First up is a very creative one. Who's going to present that? Let's see.
Chairman Eicher, we're going to have Dante Dobernick present.
Dante's going to?
Yes.
Good. And all right.
Before he starts, I'd like to just welcome our city manager to our meeting this evening.
I see Michael there. Mr. Rock, good to see you.
Thank you for joining us. Dante.
All right. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. The following is the hearing at the request of the agent, Lisa Desmond, for the applicant, which is Verizon Wireless. This is their case number 15-CUP-03, the Lori Lane site, and this was filed a few years ago, September 14th, 2015. The reason we're here today is a conditional use permit. Major facilities, which is what this new telecom would be, do require a conditional use permit for that zone. That's also reflected twice in the ordinance underneath the antenna ordinance as well. The particular site is here at the corner of Harvard and Steckel. That's Teague Park, one of the busiest youth parks here in the city to the south. Over here we have some apartments. This is the business frontage along Harvard. This begins a community of single family homes over there to the northeast. Back here are some apartments, and then if you've gone to Taco Bell, that's right there, and then that's what generally is called the Vons Shopping Center. So it's right there on the Harvard frontage. If we were to look at it from an aerial view with the zoning overlay, the subject parcel is outlined in cyan right there in the middle of the field. It's about 1.5 acres. It's designated a general commercial land use in the general plan and a general commercial zoning district. And why this is important, what, looking at this, is if you notice, there's that beginning of that single-family homes we mentioned, and over here is the R3 zoning. The ordinance that we have says that major facilities, such as these new telecoms, should be set back 200 feet from residential uses. And legally, that's been determined to be areas that are zoned for residential, because you have, you know, residential all over town and areas that are not commercial. So we're just looking at the buffer from this area with the single family and this one. And that's shown on this one here. So that little square represents the proposed footprint of the new telecom, and it's outside of it. Whether it's 1 foot or 100 feet, it is outside of the 200-foot setback, so it does comply. And that's 200 feet is measured directly buffered off of these parcels for the nearby ones there. If we zoom in on that little square, you'll see that this staff report repeatedly describes it as 17 by 17. That's the development site, which is the lease area. That's going to be the area that's going to be the interest for Verizon. The actual footprint of the tower is only 12 by 12. That's 144 square feet, so it's constrained. One of the interesting things about this project is that it's vertically integrated. If you've seen a lot of the other facilities, whether they're a fake tree, palm tree, there's usually a little equipment shed, some cables connecting the two, and then a fencing running around the both of them. This doesn't have that. It's all within that 12 by 12 column right there. When we look at it from the side view, the whole thing has been designed, what we call a stealth facility disguised, or it's referenced in the staff report as a faux steeple. So it's designed to represent an architectural element. So up top here, where you might expect to find chimes or, you know, bell or something like that, that's actually going to be solid panels that are permeable to the antenna, which are going to be behind there. And for reference, I've included about a 30-foot light pole. That's about the standard height along Harvard Boulevard. Tower itself is just under 54 feet. It's about 18 and a half to the ridgeline of the church. If you were standing over at Teague Park looking across the street, this is what you'd see. This is an actual photo of the site right there. And that's the photo simulation. So you can see it's plopped right in, so before and after. And so as designing it like a stealth facility, we've been actually, most of it was done by the applicant, but really came through with a lot of the, bringing in a lot of the elements already of the church, that blue brick base, the design elements, same color, materials, finish. The only difference was we needed a slightly higher pitch on the roof to taper it off. It wasn't quite right before when it matched the abrupt roof line of the church. One interesting thing to note is that although it may look like those are solid panels, they're not. They're represented by this board right here, so you got a chance to look at. These are going to be the side panels. They're aluminum. They're going to be gapped every 6 inches. And what that allows for is they don't have to have air conditioning equipment. There's no heat pump, any AC unit. So the whole thing will be open to the breeze. And I did get a question and I did get an answer from the agent. I said, you know, it gets really windy here in Santa Paula. This wind's going to come through. Is this thing going to hum or turn into a giant harmonica? And the answer was no, that they've used this application in other locations and there's not going to be any sort of whistling effect to that. So when we review these, we always go over the environmental. And so for this project right here, the is exempt pursuant to CEQA section 15303. And this is a very common one for the longer serving members of the Planning Commission. It's common for urban infill. So it's small, limited structures within new areas. So very typical for this location. Overall, would provide 4G service for Verizon subscribers, designed as that architectural, again, harmonizing some of those architectural elements, the nearby church. It is compatible with surrounding land uses. It's really going to be, you know, seen as a landmark architectural feature. And then it is applicable with the City of Santa Paula Development Code standards and policies, as well as the federal FCC. They are the regulating body when it comes to the radiation emission, and so it does comply. It's about the projected emissions are going to be about 10% of the maximum threshold right there. So in conclusion here, one slide off of my chart. The staff recommends that the commission make the required findings for approval of the project, determine that the project is exempt from the environmental review, and approve the project according to the conditions of approval as listed in the packet or as modified by the commission. And I did get two calls today on this. One was regarding landscaping and the other was regarding lighting. Someone asked about the landscaping feature. If you've been along Harvard, you know, there's gaps in the bushes. To me, I didn't really think it was a factor. I thought, you know, it was fine, but there are some gaps that could be filled in. That is not a condition of approval. There is no landscape review to this project. And the second one was the lighting. It's very clear that there is no external lighting on the thing. It doesn't have to have a red dot on the top for planes or anything like that. However, the halo, there is no hours of operation. That is the backlighting on that Christian cross. And so the request was by the caller, maybe it could just be, you know, during times of worship or cut off at 10 p.m. or something like that. Again, I had not considered that as an aspect, similar to many signs that we have that operate 24. This essentially is, you know, a sign advertising religion. So that would be something that you could consider now. I did not make a decision on that. Other than that, that concludes the presentation, and I'm available for questions.
It's a pretty creative project, I think. What's the church think of that? We know?
Yes. It's very adamant that the church be involved. In fact, we have a representative from the church. Oh, right there. Yes. We have Marcelino. Thank you. He is the pastor of the church, and Mrs. Ramirez is the church liaison.
Okay.
Right there. And so it was very clear that they have a voice in this, and they approve all designs. And so they are available for questions as well.
Commissioners, questions?
Well, the second item you brought up with the lighting, that's just on the south facade?
The cross is only on one side. It's the south side facing Harvard Boulevard, you know, across from
Teague Park. So all across the street is Teague Park?
Correct.
Okay, so I don't see any issues as far as restricting that, as far as hours, because there's no residents or anything else that's going to impact that.
Okay.
That'd be my comment.
Other commissioners?
No.
Perhaps a legal point? If I'm a Verizon customer, does that mean I have a conflict with this this call, Verizon Wireless?
No, you do not have a conflict.
Okay, thank you. Hearing no further comments, I'll entertain a motion.
Chair Eichert, is there any public comment on this item?
I have none.
Thank you.
We're all here for something else.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move staff's recommendation, alternative one for CUP 16-CUP-03.
Was your button pushed on your mic?
Yes.
Okay, good. We have a motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries. That brings us to item B, 17MM-07, Sparkle Ranch, track map 5308, time extension. Who's presenting that?
If you give us 1 second, I'm going to have Deputy Planning Director James Mason address the commissioner on this particular request, which is a one-year time extension, and there he is, right on cue.
Okay.
As mentioned, thank you, Tom. Good evening, Commission members. This minor modification is allowing for a tentative track map for the Sparkle Ranch development project to be extended for an additional year. The approved project is tentative track map 5308, and over the time of the submittals for this project, there's been some delays in getting through the process, just the requirements for having a complete map going back and forth from the county. So the existing map will expire on November 7th, and they have a current map in submittal with the county right now. So just in case that map didn't come back ready and recorded, they wanted to be sure that we've got some time. We're at the point where there's minor corrections. I want to talk a little bit, just give you a little highlight. Again, we're here for a minor modification to allow for a one-year time extension for the track map, and that would extend it to November 7th of 2018. The location, if you're not familiar, you can see up in this area right here, northeast of the Oaks neighborhood, at the confluence of Forest and Cliff Drives. It's an 11.6-acre property. The plan is to do 19 single-family homes, large lots, 20,000 square feet or larger. The Planning Commission and the Council approved this project in 2005, and basically there's been some delays based on a change in partnership on the project and through the recession. They're allowed three tentative tract map extensions. But through the recession, the state passed legislation, which you'll see on page 95 of your packet, that allowed for additional extensions for projects based on, you know, lack of funding or whatever could have occurred through that recession. So their time period, again, this project was approved in 2005. We've gone through some extensions. They're coming close to being complete on improvement plans and a final map, and this is to extend to make sure that they have the time to finish those elements. Again, 19 single-family homes, kind of gives the layout. The entrance there is Forest Drive going into the site. Basically, the revisions and improvements to this map is what we're looking for them to have completed within the time period. The likelihood, very close to being complete with the county. But as I said, as a fail-safe method, we want to make sure that they have the time to do this. So the recommendation is that the Planning Commission select alternative one in your packet to grant a one-year extension of the tentative map 5308 in association with this project. And the conditions that are with this resolution and the 92 conditions that are the conditions of approval for the project remain intact with this. I am open for questions.
Any commissioners have questions of Mr. Mason? Commissioner Fail?
On the previous slide, it shows Forest being the same width as Cliff Drive. It can't be, because it isn't. Forest is a narrow street leading up to that piece of property at the corner of Forest and Cliff, but it's not as wide as Cliff Drive, and my concern is with Forest Drive. Is it looks like they have basically one way in but two ways out, Forest and Cliff, into the project extension of Forest, but with an island in the middle of Forest in that block just to the left of there
coming up
Forest to the north or east, whatever direction. I'm not sure Forest is an appropriate in and out because of the width of the street and the circle in the middle. I just have a problem with Forest more than Cliff because Forest is such a narrow street. But that's my comment.
Other commissioners?
Yes, I'd like to weigh in.
Commissioner Sommer?
I'm sure many in the room this evening got this. That's why you're here. Whoever wrote it did an excellent job as far as addressing safety, traffic, quality of life issues. Please come tonight to this meeting. And it says below are some issues that will be addressed and can use your show of support if you are also concerned. Great statements. However, everything below that in the back is what's commonly referred to now as fake news. None of that is accurate. It is not in front of us this evening. And I would suggest that before anybody has a speaker card that wants to belabor this point, that you realize those are the facts that are here. All that is in front of us this evening is to make a one-year extension on the plan. The plan will come back in front of us and will go, if pass through the commission here, go to the city council, and at that point in time, if any of these are true, they will be, that'd be the time to be able to bring them up, but not tonight, because they're not on the agenda. That was my only comment, and the staff would like to weigh in on that, so be it.
I concur with that. What we have tonight is purely kind of brackets around a map. Not the whole development project. Again, we will be coming back to the Planning Commission and to Council, should the Planning Commission approve, to review improvement plans, the final map, elevations, and the project as a whole.
Thank you.
Commissioner McPhail?
Yeah, the reason I brought that up is if we grant them a year extension, if we decide to grant them a year extension, the reason I brought that up, I'd like for it to be...
Just a moment, Commissioner. Is our speaker system working?
The light?
At all?
It's lit.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, mute.
Can you hear me?
Okay. I can only stretch so far. Anyway, the reason I brought it up, I'd like the developer to see what they can do in the next year. That's why I brought it up. I know we're not going to make any decisions on the rest of it tonight, because that's not, you're right, that's not what's in before us tonight. But I'd like for the developer to at least look in the next year, assuming we approve it, the extension, that something be done there. That's all.
Other commissioners? Can you hear me? Sounds like it fades in and out. I don't know.
This has been before us, and all the conditions are as previously approved, correct? So
yes,
this
sir.
Is just simply a procedural matter to give them another year.
Correct.
Okay. So basically what we're approving has gone through this process previously, and as Commissioner Summers said, that the appropriate time for this would be when it gets to the City Council.
Yes, sir.
Anything more? Okay. Hearing none, I do have speaker cards. And they're all for this particular topic, keeping in mind that what we're here for tonight is an extension and not in a detailed discussion of the project. So I'll go right down through the list of this. And those of you that I call on, if you would come up to the microphone and state your name and your address and speak for really no more than 3 minutes. And if any of the rest of you hear what you plan to say in the future from that individual, then let that individual's spoken word speak for yours. So I'll start out with Joy Cummings.
Joy Cummings, 1147 Grant Line, Santa Paula. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, so you're saying that you can't put any additional conditions on this tonight?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're just, okay. So, I'm just going to, okay, my second question is, will it come back to this commission, or does it only go from here to the City Council?
We'll see this project again.
Okay, so there will be another time to submit recommendations, or
I believe so.
To this board.
Okay, excuse me, Chairman Eichert and Ms. Cummings. The project was approved with, I guess, 92 conditions. A lot of conditions that deal with the design and house built homes to be constructed on the lots. Once the final map is approved and the applicants proceed forward with their vision of what this would look like, it comes back to Planning Commission and City Council for the design elevation of the various homes that a prior council imposed upon this project.
So, okay, well, my concern is, and using up my time anyway, my concern is that if you approve this, which you probably will, is that I feel there should be more restrictions on this project because things have changed so radically since 2005. Number one is traffic, and as this person spoke, it's a very narrow road. It's the only ingress and egress to this project. And you are dumping way more traffic out onto the Highway 150, which most of us were late getting here tonight because traffic was backed up for over 2 miles. I mean, you're just dumping more and more cars on this road, so you've got to address that. And then my main concern, too, is the rock removal. This land is primarily a rock ex-riverbed. I think someone said it was like 50% rock, 50% soil, but that is not true. It's more like 95% rock. The school just is building three barns, and they had a geologist approve the plan, but they ended up with 50% more rock than what they thought and only half of the filled earth that they needed. And with this project, all that rock is going to be crushed on site, which is right behind our homes. And I'm asking any of you if you would like a rock crusher in your backyard. I think that that's just a horrendous thing. The developer had said that it would take like 2 weeks to a month to crush the rock, and that is not going to happen because of the extent. It'll probably be more like 8 months by my estimates. So those are my main concerns. I have others, but I'm running out of time. And so I just wanted to ask you if at some point you would consider putting these further restrictions on this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Joey. I'd ask that we not applaud. We try to get everyone through who wants to speak. Peggy McKing. Peggy McKing isn't going to speak? Okay. Gina Mathwin.
Good evening, Planning Commission members and staff. I would like to address you on this project. I don't know if I'm going to have to go back and ask multiple professionals again, but what I was told by multiple was that this commission does have the authority to approve this project with additional conditions at this meeting. Now, maybe I was told incorrectly, but I have a letter to read to you that I would like to start so I don't use all the time from a group of neighbors, okay? My name is Gina Mathwin. I live at 1107 Cliff Drive. In the past 10 months, we have made a good faith effort to communicate with all parties involved in this proposed development in order to learn all we could about the project and to share our concerns. We've addressed the council on numerous occasions, met with staff, administration, the developer, and various council members individually. We have also talked with our concerned neighbors and community. As a result, we are here tonight asking that you do one of the two following. Option one, we request the Planning Commission deny the time extension on the basis that the reports are all severely out of date and the project needs to have a fresh look by the current commission, that would be you guys, and the current council, not the council and commission from 2005. And it's evidenced by the need to update the general plan. And by the way, OHI just denied a project for that exact reason from 2008. Option two would be we request the Planning Commission approve the one-year time extension on the following with the following stipulations. A, the rock crushing on site is very incompatible with adjacent residences and a nearby school and is specifically prohibited. B, a new traffic engineering analysis shall be prepared based upon cumulative general plan build-out and all service level of C traffic conditions identified in the new report shall be corrected before proceeding with the project. C, it is required of the developer to submit a line of sight analysis to the city for review and approval. D, it is required of the developer to submit a fire evacuation plan to the city for review and approval. Tonight would be a good example of the reason why. We would like to request your selection of option one above in order to make this project a quality, safe addition to the Oaks neighborhood and the Santa Paula Canyon community at large. Thank you for your consideration of our request. Respectfully submitted, Gina Mathwin and some concerned neighbors of the Oaks. Do you have any questions for me? Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gina.
Yes, I am.
Doug Smith.
Good evening, councilmen and women. My name is Doug Smith. I live at 1025 Cliff Drive. And some of this you guys aren't going to want to hear tonight versus your earlier statements. But as of a staff report of the Planning Commission meeting, that there's a statement made under an environmental review that the project involved would have no alterations from the approved project of 2005. However, this project before you tonight has several alterations in comparison to the original approved project of 2005. For example, the elevations have changed, the lift station has been moved, the proposed drainage has changed, and a lot of the easements have changed. And in 2005, the oak trees that were there probably could have been cut down. 12 years later, these are mature oak trees, and they're going to greatly impact the footprint of these houses. And, you know, I don't think we're denying that they developed that property, but they're trying to develop it into a housing tract. Like the Stevenson project around the corner, there's seven almost identical homes. You know, if it's going to be developed, it should be developed for the land it's intended for. It's beautiful back there. Nobody wants to see a housing tract back there. It should be some horse ranches, some estate homes, some big properties that would increase our property values, not a housing tract that we're going to look over for as long as we've lived there. And that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Sharon Lee Cuffold.
Hi. This is my first time up here, so bear with me. I live at 1213 Forest Drive. It is a very small, narrow street that's two blocks long, and there is an island at the end. Adding more traffic to that, which already gets impacted by people going to and from the school, picking up their kids, dropping their kids off, it's crazy. And beyond that, having survived the a fire in my neighborhood in Palm Springs that took out my home because there was no way of evacuation or no way for the fire department to get in there and do what they needed to do. And with the fires that have happened up north, I am seriously concerned about evacuation from the Oaks in case of fire and from the canyon. There's already too many people and very few ways out. So I just think this needs a fresh look. These reports are way old compared to the conditions today. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Kit Sauer.
Thank you for letting us come up and talk, even though you're just wanting to give an extension. The Commissioner McPhail, I think, brought up the key concern with many of us, as Sharon just brought up, is egress and ingress. I was an operating engineer and built many subdivisions in the LA County, some in Ventura. And we were not allowed to even complete most of our general excavation grading without having a secondary fire access on a paved road. If this little subdivision were to go in, as Commissioner McPhail brought up, there'd be no way for true firefighting personnel to come up cliff or forest or woodland without there also being some sort of access from the backside, which would be across the creek. They're using, I believe, a dirt road now for trucking out the excess rock from the school site. It would seem to me that in reevaluating that it should be considered that if they're going to make this subdivision come true, that they should be liable for a secondary back access for fire to come in there. LA County's had these laws for a long time. I'm not sure why Ventura doesn't. It's just a concern of ours. Thank you.
Thank you, Kit. Next, Pam Stratman.
Hello, my name's Pam Stratman. I live at 1327 Manzanita. I will not, I concur with many of the comments that have already been made, so I won't go over those again. But I just wanted to, you know, I agree that the tentative track MAC could get an extension. That's, I have no problem with that. But I just wanted to mention, in addition to the comments that have already been made, the traffic, the construction traffic, will be very, very difficult because we don't have sidewalks and there's children on these streets and big, heavy trucks going back and forth. There's going to be quite a bit of a problem. And of course, any access of those equipment, those types of heavy vehicles going down Forest would further jeopardize the children going to and from Bedell School. So I just want to know if the build out could occur all at once rather than being phased in, you know, four or five houses at a time. That way, the inconvenience of the noise and the traffic and all those issues will be compressed into a smaller time frame rather than, you know, taking years. And furthermore, I just wanted to mention with the FFA farm next door, that's undoubtedly a condition that didn't exist in 2005, and there's surely going to be conflicts with those interfaces between those homes and the FFA farm. I would hate to see the school have to pay for a lot of extra, you know, conditions, you know, to ameliorate sounds and, you know, odors and that kind of thing. So it's a consideration. It should be considered. Thanks.
Thank you, Pam. Pam Murphy.
Lower the mic so you can hear me. Pam Murphy, I live at 969 Terracina Street. I am in this area daily, on a daily basis, usually 7:30 in the morning. I walk through the Sparkle property and down to the creek and spend a good hour and a half there every day. I know what exists on the property. There's rattlesnakes, there's coyotes, there's rabbits, pigeons, doves, vultures, all kinds of interesting creatures that are habitats there. We would like to suggest that a 12-year-old environmental impact report or study that may or may not have been done in 2005 is in order again. 12 years is a long time to think that the conditions there have not changed. We have some slides here for you to look at which illustrate the rock pile that has been generated by the farm project. I am now witnessing six dump trucks back and forth on the Creek Road out to Main Street that are there from 7:30 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. They're taking rock out, bringing dirt back in. And that's a small project. That's four barns in a confined area. Can you move to the next slide? Just to illustrate what's come out of the ground there, I'm not sure the developer really has a good idea of what is going to occur when they start excavating Sparkle property. So, next slide. So that road, you see there, leads down to the creek. They're going through the gate and out to Main Street. Fortunately, they have a water truck there as well, so they're doing a good job controlling dust, but it's noisy. And they're also disturbing the homeless population that has made their encampment at the entrance on the west side of the creek close to Main Street. There's probably at least 15 structures there now that people are living in, and they're the drivers are making friends with them. So so we'd like to suggest that you consider an environmental impact report being required because this is a 12-year-old permit that was granted in 2005. Thank you.
Thanks, Pam. Lisa Desmond? Lisa Desmond? Not here? Last chance, Lisa. Okay. Well, this is Rick. Yeah, Rick Behringer, come on up.
Good evening, 1334 Forest Drive. I'd just like to concur with what's been said tonight and not take too much of your time, except one item. I was here last year, and I brought up traffic and safety, and nothing's changed as far as I'm concerned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. And last is Harold Ramser.
Evening. I live, Harold Ramser, live at 1234 Woodland Drive, an easy address to remember. One thing, well, first of all, I think that probably would be best if we just didn't give the extension. That would clear this whole thing up right then and there. But at any rate, I had an idea here that a licensed asphalt engineer, one who makes his living planning streets and roads for municipalities and the state, should be engaged and not by the developer and consulted as to the additional wear and tear these heavy roads will inflict on already marginal paving on the Oak streets. This is a recognized and predictable factor whose cost must be paid by somebody. I don't think the Oaks were ever intended to be conduits for future development. Not only this development, there may be others that will come up later, but this is going to put terrific pressure on these on this very peaceful area. Those who have purchased homes on these quiet streets should not be asked to give up the charm and quiet that made their buying decisions. So, and they should not be so that others may profit. To profit by using the settled and quiet area as an ingress egress to development? This seems to be unfair and inconsiderate, and only negatives for the current residents, and profit to the outsider developers when after they finish, they just leave. Why allow good land to be torn apart? Use the land as is with no more than minimal grading and no removal of rock or earth, no rock crushing with its terrible noise and air pollution. Think of the incredible noise and the stifling, unhealthy rock dust being spread over our pristine neighborhood from dawn to dusk. Something the residents should never have to suffer. Please consider that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Harold. These are the only comment cards that I have. Any others? No? Okay. Commissioners? Comments? Mr. McPhail? No? Commissioner Bang?
Can we just clarify one more time that there was somebody commented that a professional said that we do have the authority to make changes, that's...
Commissioner Bang, members of the commission, good evening. I'm John Cotty, I'm the city attorney. It's nice to be here. I would note that the granting of an extension of time on a tentative map falls within your sound discretion. It's your decision. You have the authority to deny, to approve, or to conditionally approve the extension of time. Should you choose to deny the extension of time, it has to relate to why the granting of an extension would be harmful to the community, not the project as a whole. If you add conditions to the granting of an extension, those conditions have to relate to the extension of time. So, for example, I heard construction noise. That's not affected by a one-year extension because construction won't begin in that time period. Fire access, rock crushing, none of that is going to happen within the year. So it would be difficult to impose conditions on an extension of time only related to those conditions. If there was a situation where the project might suffer from some environmental impact that's going to be exacerbated by a one-year extension of time, that might be something that you can condition and say you have to ameliorate that condition within the year, or we're not going to grant you an extension. Those are the types of extensions that are appropriate on a tentative map. This project is coming back to this commission, to my understanding, and it will come back to the City Council. All of these people will be free to ask for new environmental information, for new conditions of approval on the map, and things of that nature at that time. So tonight's just the extension of time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your clarification for us. Commissioner Robinson, any comments?
I just want to emphasize, I mean, a lot of very real concerns out there, and these folks really do deserve an opportunity to be heard before the appropriate authority, which would be the Planning Commission, and then onto this council. The decision tonight is simply to do what we've done previously, is give them more time and to work with the community, the developer, and staff. I do have a question. Is there any, for Mr. Cotty or staff, an EIR? Is there an expiration date on an EIR? Is there a window of it being applicable before it has to be updated or redone? Just a quick yes or no if that's possible.
Vice Chairman Robinson, I wish it was possible. I would say that given the set of circumstances and what has gone on in the immediate area and surroundings, the existing certified environmental document is still good.
Okay, with that said, I'll make the motion that we adopt the proposed extension for 1 year for this project.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? One? No?
No.
No, you're opposed or no?
No opposed.
No opposed. Okay. All in favor?
Unanimous. Just want to make
unanimous.
Clear.
Yes.
Make clear, we have it in the minutes. Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay, moving on to item C-17, CI-13, ordinance amending Title 16 of the Santa Paula Municipal Code regarding cannabis.
Can we take a 2-minute break as they clear the room?
Do you
want me to continue?
Well. Last time we took a 2 to 5 minute break, it turned out to be 15.
Okay.
So.
Good point.
Not that I care.
You want to know the score?
So if we'll close the back door, thank you, the front door, we're good.
I got it taped. We'll see it from first anyway. Get home.
Okay. This item is going to be presented by Mr. Kettles, who isn't here tonight, so I guess we don't address it tonight. Are you up to snuff on this one, Mr. City Attorney?
Ms. Minsk is going to take the laboring oar on this one. But if you have legal questions, we're certainly available.
For a small fee.
No, I'm here, man. You got me.
Okay, good evening. So the item before you this evening deals with cannabis. It's an ordinance proposal amending Title 16 of the Santa Paula Municipal Code, Chapter 16.79, regarding cannabis. And I'll quickly go through this. A little background for you is in November 2016, the voters in California approved Proposition 64 to regulate adult use of marijuana. In short, its initials are AUMA. And that happened to establish a system to legalize, control, such things as cultivation, processing, manufacture, the distribution, testing, and sale of non-medical cannabis. And with this proposition, effective January 1st, 2018, there will be several state licensing agencies that will begin issuing licenses for activities listed in the above there. So what we'd like to do is, in order to maintain our local control of what can and cannot be done regarding cannabis, we must have an ordinance in place by January 1st, 2018. So tonight is the first step working towards that, where we have something before the planning commissioners, and we're just asking for you to review what I have before you and then direct or make a motion that you're in a current concurrence with, and we'd recommend that the council then take the ordinance up at that point. So a little background on it is October 2nd, 2017, the council did discuss this and directed staff to come back to prepare an ordinance to amend existing Title 16, which currently we have one on the book, 16.79, that deals with cannabis, which basically prohibits cannabis in almost every zone within the city. Per their council direction, they wanted us to come back with something before you and then off to council that prohibited all commercial cannabis activities and cultivation within the city limits and imposed reasonable regulation and permitting for the indoor use of personal cultivation, which Prop 64 did allow, and we can't prohibit. So what we're proposing is amending Chapter 16.79 in its entirety and replacing it with what is before you in your packet this evening. So our recommendation is to adopt Resolution 3771, recommending that the council adopt the ordinance number 1272, amending Chapter 16.79 in its entirety. And that's the brief presentation on it. And Mr. Cotty and I are available if there's any particular questions.
Commissioner Somer.
I just have one question that would just be more of a housekeeping. Item G, number 9 on page 123, fully enclosed accessory structure. That means it must be roof on top and only a door, no windows, since it's fully enclosed, cannot be seen. I'm just curious as the clarification on that.
No, it just means fully enclosed by doors and windows so that there, it can't be open to the outdoors.
Okay, so it does not have to be a roof on top
there? No, there would have to be fully enclosed roof, okay. Doors, windows.
So there could be windows, okay.
Yes.
Because it says it cannot be seen from...
But the accessory structure can have windows. The growth has to be done indoors within the accessory structure itself.
Right.
Other conditions of the ordinance would have to apply, including visibility from the outside.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Bangs?
So the previous rules here were that under no circumstances is cannabis allowed to be grown commercially or personally, and kind of what we're voting on is to allow it to be grown personally. Am I understanding that correctly?
I wanted to put this a little bit more in context, because when the council met on October 2nd, there was quite a long discussion about this. And I want to be sure that the commissioners understand what all the history is and where this may go. So tonight, the reason it's coming to you right now is a critical timing that the city put together an ordinance before January 1st in order to maintain local control of enforcement issues related to Prop 64, which will take effect on January 1st. The new state law does allow for indoor grow of 6 plants or less. You don't have to grow 6 plants. You can actually grow fewer than that. And it has to be enclosed. And we're asking that the commission consider an ordinance that gives local control and local enforcement powers, including a host of things such as having to have essentially a permit to do that, and that, you know, based on complaints and or the lack of proper permitting, that the city at the local level would have the ability to enforce its own local laws. Otherwise, we will be required to follow whatever state laws may or may not be contemplated in the future, which is uncertain at this time. The other thing the council talked about for quite a while on October 2nd is that they will be considering this issue again in terms of whether or not to allow cultivation dispensaries and or a combination of both and or mobile delivery. So in order to get this ordinance in place to allow for local sort of oversight and authority and enforcement, we are looking at it tonight, and currently the city does not allow cultivation, delivery, or dispensaries, and that is still currently the law in the city of Santa Paula. However, there is an ad hoc committee of the City Council, and there will be discussions probably early next year with the City Council on whether or not to pursue any one of those three options longer term. So we will be coming back with a whole host of options and cost estimates, revenue estimates, security issues, all of the issues that come with siting either a cultivation facility or a dispensary or both. So the council will take another look at it next year, and there will be probably several meetings, public open meetings, for the public to engage and ask questions. And so that's just so you have the full background of what's happening with this issue. It's not that the council is saying that no cannabis activities will ever be allowed in the city forever. That's not what we're saying at this time. They may consider it again next year, and we'll see where that goes, because what they really want is a much larger public dialogue and town hall meeting type discussion to find out where the community is on what are really three separate issues. So mobile delivery, dispensaries, and cultivation. So just thought I would let you know what's going on throughout the council and the community. I'm sorry, you had a specific question.
That answered it.
Okay, good.
I have a question. So this is basically just a stopgap.
Yeah, it's a stopgap in that if we don't do this, then we have no local authority to enforce Prop 64, and we would leave that to the whatever state regulations are written or are going to be written.
Commissioner Bangs, I'd follow up. I think your specific question, though, was directed to personal cultivation. And I think it's important to point out that right now, a person can grow six plants of marijuana in their residence. So this ordinance is designed to impose some regulations on that. It installs a permit process that allows us to go in and inspect. We can ensure ventilation and visibility and some of those other things. It also does ban commercial activity, either dispensing or cultivation, but it doesn't prohibit and cannot prohibit by state law personal cultivation. A person can grow six plants in their bedroom if they want.
Other commissioners? Well, I have a conundrum, and that's I never liked the state law to begin with. So for me to vote on something here to permit it, in accordance with state law, I'm agreeing to something that I'm been opposed to for 72 years, or close to that. Never had to use, never used, had to deal with people who had used around equipment, guns, boats, ships, you name it. So we'll see what I have to say when we get to the action. So do I have a commissioner who would like to?
I'll make a motion.
Make a motion?
We recommend alternate number one, City Council amend Title 16 of the Santa Paula Municipal Code prohibiting all commercial cannabis activities and cannabis cultivation in all zones and imposing reasonable regulations and permitting requirements for the indoor personal cultivation up to six plants as authorized under state law.
We have a motion. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. We have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Summer?
Favorite.
Commissioner McPhail?
I'm with our chairman, but I'll vote yes.
Commissioner Bangs?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Robinson?
I don't like what's happening here, but I vote yes.
And Chairman Eichert?
No. Okay. Motion passes. Moving on to the next item. Item D, 13 CDP 09, minor modification to approved air park specific plan. We got quite a large package of information here, and pretty good show. It's good to see this come back. We've seen it a couple times now, haven't we?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Commission members, again. Talking about a project that's, again, similar to the Sparkle project, was on hold due to the recession, change in partnership, change in scope of the project. What we are here tonight is to amend the specific plan via a minor modification that will incorporate mixed-use residential, light industrial, and or aviation-related business development incorporated into this 37 airplane hangar project. And that, number one, is a shift from what was primarily a residential hangar project that was before the commission and council back in 2007 and 8. Number two is a tentative map amendment to change from two lots to three lots. The original project had two lots. In the interest of phasing and financing, it's been shifted to three lots. Number three, the building height changed from 35 feet to 45 feet. The underlying zoning in the specific plan, this was originally light industrial, which allowed for a 45-foot height. When the plan was originally brought before the city, it was very conceptual, and it came up with 35-foot kind of framework for what those buildings would look like. Given the FAA requirements, there's a federal aviation FAR 77, which basically has different planes of which planes can fly in, provides for graduated heights as you get outside of the runway clear zone. So the buildings that fit within that will be allowed to go up to 45 feet based on this specific plan and what we're going for tonight. Also, an update to the affordable housing plan. Obviously, over 10 years, the median incomes and all the requirements associated with affordable housing and what those prices are and estimates are have completely changed. That's been revised to be current with Ventura County as of June 2017. And finally, an addendum to the mitigated negative declaration. They had to do environmental impact assessment of the site back in 2007 and the project. There was an addendum to that done in 2014. As a result of the changes that we're bringing tonight in the specific plan and to the tentative map, there's some requirements. We went through, did an addendum to the mitigated negative declaration. And minor changes. Overall, I believe the total quantification of changes is like 2.67% when you look at changes to the site. For location, basically right between 12th Street and 10th Street south of San Maria at the eastern end of the runway of Santa Paula Airport. This is a conceptual site plan, specific plan, which shows Air Park 1, which is primarily what we're talking about. The specific plan also includes Air Park 2, which is not a part of the development. It has different ownership, multiple ownerships, and we'll talk about that a little bit later as far as how that fits into the requirements within the specific plan. This is helpful just from the standpoint of talking about runway clear zones and the limitations that are on this project from the standpoint of development. And as you can see, this is the Air Park 1 project right here. All of those units that we're talking about are within here, which defines an area that's outside of runway free zone and the protection zone. So within those areas, we're allowed to build buildings 35 feet, and as we mentioned, up to 45 feet, depending on that plane of FAR 77. Air Park 2, which again is not a part of this development but is a part of the specific plan, right now is a mix of open space and basically lots that are being used for vehicle equipment storage and some buildings, all of which long term are non-conforming based on these zones. So longer term development of that area would, based on purchase and whoever does that, would require that would be some type of open space or parking rather than building again structures within an area that's within that zone. So basically tonight, all those things I mentioned result is really a request for necessary clarifications and modifications to the project description and scope to provide more viable and marketable development project. Really, when you're talking about a project that's narrowly defined as residential, with also the additions that they've made to aesthetics, to improvements to parking, to the requirements with each individual unit, all those things have become more in alignment with our code and more in alignment with a project that's going to be more marketable and viable as a development project in the city. So going quickly, number one, incorporate mixed use, as I mentioned earlier, adding on to the residential light industrial aviation-related business development into this 37-unit project. So that provides some latitude as far as what type of development can happen in there. I also mentioned tentative map amendments to change from 2 to 3 lots. That's really what we're talking about, basically phasing these developments into 3 different developments. A building height change from 35 to 45 feet. This is a little bit cryptic, but as you can tell, when you're talking about how the planes change in height as you get further and further away from the runway, basically dealing with departure and access into the runway. This also shows basically the same thing. This is the development project, and you can see as these lines right here, kind of like a topographical map, start to relay height differences as you go from here lower to higher heights, and that will restrict and define the heights of their buildings and where they will be built. Same thing again, showing that linear relationship of heights to what's required as far as that FAR 77. 4, an update to the affordable housing plan. As I mentioned earlier, changes in county requirements for median income and what those calculations are. And really, according to our inclusionary housing ordinance, any development that includes housing needs to increase affordable housing, further balance economic integration and geographic balance of affordable housing, establish standards and procedures for developers, and help the city meet its housing requirements, regional housing requirements. This project's a unique project. I mean, arguably, how many people that own an airplane and are going to buy a hangar are going to be in an income bracket that are going to be within a low to low mod housing requirement? But to meet that requirement, within the calculations of the inclusionary housing ordinance, what we look at is the number of units being calculated, and then you have a choice of a low or a moderate income option. And at the low income option, what they have an opportunity to do is do 15% of those 37 units, which rounded up is 6 units. So instead of building 6 units, what they're going to do is do an in-lieu fee, which will pay the difference between their unit and that affordable housing cost. The calculation for that, as I mentioned, 37 times 15 gives you 6 low-income units. Their average cost per unit, if they rounded it based on all their development, is about $227,000. And that's keeping in mind, that's applying to the upper level of these units. The lower level is a hangar, the residence would be above. So the housing can only apply to the residential portion. So looking at the county calculation, which for a two-person unit is $168,000, that difference at $59,000 and those 6 units is what they will pay in an in-lieu fee, which is $365,253. Now, they can pay that as one fee, or they could spread that among all the units, depending. But basically, that's what they've committed to do to meet our affordable housing requirement. And again, the approval criteria for this is affordable housing plan meets or exceeds the city's objectives. And as I mentioned, it's kind of impractical for them to impose that there would be residential at a low to mod income range for a project of this scope and character. And then also that approving this affordable housing plan would be consistent with our development code and with the in-lieu fee option that provides consistency. And then finally, addendum to the mitigated negative declaration. To kind of walk through it quickly, as I mentioned earlier, 2007, there was an initial study that pointed to the need for a mitigated negative declaration for the approved project. And 2008, that was brought to the Planning Commission and to the Council with the project and approved. An addendum was done in 2014 with some changes that were made to the project. And again, with the changes what we have today in these revisions to the specific plan, warrant addendum number two. And as I mentioned, the changes to the project are less than 3%. We discussed what those changes were, the map going from 2 to 3 parcels, the height change, adding business uses to the plan. So really from the standpoint of impacts, it's a little counterintuitive, but going from residential to business uses on an airport actually is less of an environmental impact because you don't have as much conflict as you normally would. And the uses that residential have as far as water and traffic are going to be less moving towards business uses. So there's a better balance of the uses on there. Now, again, we're here for an update to the specific plan that affects all these areas. Staff has reviewed all the issues and all the elements related to this and what you have as far as the specific plan, the MND, and all other documents, housing document. They're consistent with the City of Santa Paula general plan. They're within the growth perimeters considered in the 2007 adopted original plan and the MND. Don't create any new significant impacts, as I mentioned, less than 2.6% change, which is a relatively low impact difference. And it's in accordance with the CEQA guidelines. The motion tonight is to adopt Resolution 3772, and which is an amendment to the track map 5819, and also move forward an ordinance 1273 to the City Council for approval for the specific plan. And I can answer questions at this point. And the applicant developer here is also Stephen Wolpen.
Okay, good. Thanks, James. We also have this letter in support of this from the Santa Paula Airport Association, which I think is extremely important since this is the, kind of their territory over there, and if this was going to be a project that wouldn't be compatible with most of their tenants, this would be a no-go. I was happy to see this come back. I mean, I wondered what was going on. I knew it was money had a lot to do with and some of the change in ownership. So it's a good-looking project as far as I'm concerned. And I think we need to get busy doing it. But commissioners, you have questions for James? Commissioner McPhail.
Yeah, we were handed this before the meeting. So item 53, condition 53 and 54 were added or just changed?
Commissioner McPhail. What we wanted to do was have those two conditions revised. After we went to print, we recognized some slight revisions we needed to make. The applicant is in agreement with those. So if you do make a motion to recommend approval of this project, we'd like you to include the changes to those two conditions in your motion.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other commissioner comments, questions? Entertain a motion.
I move approval of recommendation number one for 3772 and add conditions 53 and 54.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you very much, James. I'll now close the public hearing. New business. Any new business? Hearing none, I guess there's no new business. City communications. Anything from the planning department?
Yes, there is. Thank you. Two things, or several things. One is our normal meeting in November is right after Thanksgiving. It's normally November 28th, and it escapes me as to do we even have a quorum? I don't know if there's three of you available for that date.
I'll be in Boise.
So that's one down.
Oh, are we going to Boise to hold the meeting? Is that permitted?
Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Sales meeting. I'm not available.
Okay, and so I'm not two. Sure how, probably not, okay. Having seen that, it appears that we would not have a quorum for November 28th. What we will do is look at the projects that we have ready and probably look at some time in December before the holidays. And aside from that, what I also wanted to discuss is the status of our general plan update and trying to schedule some community workshops. We're getting ready to release a background report that's very extensive on kind of existing conditions and where we might like to be in a lot of maps and whatnot. And I wanted to have a workshop about that, as well as we're going to redo our notice of preparation for the CEQA document, which is an environmental impact report related to the general plan update. We wanted to bundle those two together, if possible, into one type of community meeting. We were looking at, actually, November 28th or 29th, our consultant is available for those two dates. It looks like that might be an opportunity or option in light of the fact that we wouldn't be having Planning Commission on November 28th. So I will continue doing a little more work on that, and we'll let you know.
Okay.
Aside from that, I will have to say that the economy is improving. Business on our side of the table is in an upswing, and we're very, very excited. And we're also quite excited about some of the projects that you've moved forward this evening. I'm not sure, James, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Anything going on with the car wash and that neck of the woods?
Go ahead.
That development project got pulled based on the requirements for the project and their cost analysis of what it was going to take to do that. There were some public improvements that they needed to do, and the requirements just didn't pencil up for them. So they
And it was pulled by whom?
By the developer.
Oh, the developer. Okay. That's what happened, I think, the last time somebody tried to build over there. Let's see, what other developments have we got that have nothing's come of or we haven't seen besides that one? Anything going on with the power plant? Or the battery plant?
That's the nickname or acronym is BESS. As far as I know, and my last contact with our staff planner, that's moving forward. It's moving a little slower because we're working on some voluntary conditions for some energy savings for the city. So we'll work through that before we get to a hearing.
All right. Okay, how about any Planning Commission communications? Commissioner McPhail.
I'd like to apologize to staff. I didn't mean to blindside you. I should have asked before the meeting, which I will do in the future, if it's appropriate to talk about changes to an item on the agenda when it's just an extension. I apologize to staff.
Oh. Commissioner Mayfield, no worries. It's fine.
Free form here, you know. We're a little bit on the casual side. If we get out of hand, Peggy keeps us in line. She always has.
She'll write about you.
That's the point.
Oh.
Make sure it's good. If you know, if she puts it in the paper and it's not good, then you're in trouble.
Okay.
Anything else? Anyone else? Thank you for joining us, Mr. City Attorney. We appreciated your guidance and comments. All right. Thank you, staff. Oh, just one. We have one. You want me to do it for you? Sure. Positive. We're adjourned.
I love the idea of actually doing this.
constant hassle to get better and better.
No, you've